Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is August 28th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to recording, which you are almost able to do. So I, on that note, because I've had a couple people that are asking me, and I don't know if those of you that are on live ever go back and listen to the recordings of this, but we've had some people ask me, and it wasn't as I am when I moved my website server over. It messed up all of the podcast streaming and the and everything, and I have not had a lot of time to sit down and fix all of that. Yesterday, I got everything uploaded, so all of the past calls, you know, since we moved the website over the last couple months, are on the website now, so you can find the recording on the website. They are available, and it will take a little while for them to catch up to Spotify and all the Google podcasts, and I don't think Google podcasts exist anymore. It's YouTube podcasts, but all the podcast applications. So that is coming. I am working on it. And they should be there very soon, which is why we love having you on live. So thank you everybody for being here live. Anyway, I love that those of you that are catching up on this on the recording, I love that you're reaching out to me and letting me know that you want to hear those. That makes me, I always feel really good about that. So thank you very much. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy to know you're out there and that you find value in this. So, thank you. So with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have? Nothing? Okay. Well, then let's jump right into the topic. And we're going to talk about following up today, though I want to start the conversation with a little different, because I want to talk about following up on a sale, right? So after you've been, you've gone on a sales call, you know, you made the sale. I'm sorry. Not only going on the sales call, I'm saying after you've made the sale. I always believed very strongly that the sale actually didn't start until well after the install had already been completed. I mean, that's, you know, the hard part is earning the trust and getting the customer to, you know, to see that you have what will best help them. I mean, that's the hard part, right? I think the fun part is nurturing that relationship and keeping it. And that starts with going out and doing a follow-up and checking it and testing it and making sure that everything's doing what it's supposed to do. I never really considered that. I mean, when you look back on it, it is a business type, you know, when I was in sales, when that's all I did was sales, obviously I'm still in sales in some way now, aren't we all? But when, you know, all it was my job to go out there and nurture a territory and create business and generate sales, I mean, referrals were so huge. And those referrals often were most effectively produced by the follow-up. You know, I go out usually within 2 weeks of the install, check it, test it, make sure that it's doing everything it's supposed to do. I used to tell my customers, look, you spent a lot of money on this thing. I don't want you looking at it going, it's okay. I want you jumping up and down with joy over it. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've gone out to do a follow-up within a couple weeks of the sale, and the customer, you know, how's the water? Oh, man, it's great. We should have done this years ago. And then you test the water, and it's hard for some reason. You're like, you think it's good now. Wait, you feel it when it's actually working. That was what kind of highlighted that. Yeah, there is the power of psychology, right? People think that they spent a couple $1,000s on a system. They're absolutely convinced that it's working, whether it's working or not, until eventually the evidence becomes so strong that it's not working, and then they're mad. This thing's never worked. And I would rather find that out within a couple weeks of the sale. And I've got some of my best referrals from people that I went back out to do the follow-up on, and the system wasn't working. You know, so I do want to spend a little time this morning talking about what is your follow-up policy. But what sort of spawned this topic, and thank you, Michelle, for this, we got a call in for somebody wanting to buy a test kit from us, a customer, just a regular, not a dealership or it was a homeowner from Texas. And they had bought a system from a company there, and the company they've been trying to call the company for a long time to get them to come out. They had promised them that they were going to have high pH water. You know, it's one of those, the high pH. We talked about that a little bit last week, actually. They promised them they were going to have high pH water after all of this stuff, and they couldn't get in touch with the company. Finally, the company reached back out because it was in some computer or something almost a year later and told the lady that they would come out and check the system for free and tell her that it's giving them hard water if the customer was willing to write a positive Google review, give them a positive Google review. So they were using the Google review to get back, like they promised they would go back out to the house if the customer gave them a positive review. Now, we've talked a little bit about reviews and the importance of that, and I think that we should actively be trying to get positive reviews. I think it really does make a huge difference when people are looking. I think they're looking at that, but not that way. My opinion is that's just not the right way of going about it, but I know, who am I? But I don't know what you guys think, but
slimy, Kelly. That is so slimy.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Paul.
Extortion.
Yeah. It really just, I don't know anybody else have popped on that. There are so many people in our industry that, I had never heard that one before. And sometimes I just hear it. I just shake my head and go, wow. I mean, what do you guys think about that part? Before we jump into everything else.
I just came in late. What are you talking about? It's Paul.
Hey, Paul, good morning. There's a customer in Texas that had told their customer that they would go back out and check the system for free if it only been in for about a year. It was one of those high pH companies, that promised high pH, and the lady was concerned that she reached out to us because she wanted to buy a pH kit. A pH test kit so that she could test her own water and see what it was, because the company promised her that it would be high pH and they wouldn't answer her calls until finally they did call her back and said that they would come out if she gave them a positive review on Google. That was the condition of them coming back out and checking the system and doing the follow-up on it. Yeah.
That's funny.
What's that?
That's really funny.
I'd never heard that before. I'm just like bored.
They have stipulations for me to come out. Yeah. You got to give me a good review.
Yeah, it just floored me. I don't know. Maybe if there's anybody else on this call that does that as a policy, can you kind of explain the rationale? Anybody?
We hand a card out with a QR code for a review, but we don't ask for a positive review. We ask for a honest review.
Yeah. Yeah. So the positive review part doesn't bother me. I always put the word positive. I'd love to have a positive review from Google, and I always say that. An honest review is a great way of wording it. That's awesome, too. Because hopefully those honest reviews will be positive. I just didn't like holding that as, the follow-up. So the topic today is on follow-ups. So anyway, that's what sort of spawned this as a topic. Made me think about, I tended to schedule my follow-up, because sometimes I'm kind of curious about what what your follow-up policies are. I know for me, when I was in sales, our company didn't have a policy. They weren't required. When I became regional sales manager, I actually made it mandatory. In fact, I held back commission until the follow-up was completed. So I held back a percentage of the commission in order to incent, because I believe so strongly in the importance of going out and doing that in-person follow-up. And I'd have salespeople all the time say to me, well, I can't get in touch with the person. They won't call me back. Well, schedule it at the time. So Paul, we've put your system in. I really appreciate it. This is, I think you're going to love it. There are two things. We've got you scheduled for installation on this day. This is the day that you're going to put it in. The other day that we need to look at is a date sometime within the 2 weeks after that install that I can swing back out and check it and test it and make sure it's doing everything it's supposed to do. The customers, when you schedule it, when you put it on the calendar, at the time that you're scheduling the installation, it gets done. It's on the calendar. People don't get busy. It doesn't get – and it becomes way easier. Now, sometimes stuff got canceled or whatever, or people forgot about it, but that just like anything else. I mean, you just let them know that that's part of the process. I found that most people, I mean, almost everybody really, really, really appreciated that follow-up. Especially
Kelly?
If – yes, go ahead. Yeah, please.
I have to agree with you. If you make it part of the initial process of scheduling the install and you say two sentences to the customer about, we come out 2 weeks later, we check the system, make sure everything is, working properly, and if you have any other questions, we can answer them for you then. And to just go back to something you had said in the beginning of the call regarding, when you tested the water and it was still hard and the people said it was great and wonderful, and you said, wait till it, is working 100%, you're really going to love it. That would, I wouldn't be mad at something like that. I would be grateful, like, wow, I'm thinking this thing is working 100%, but you're testing it and telling me, you have to adjust it and it's going to work even better. That would honestly wouldn't make me upset. It would make me happier to think, wow, they really stand behind their product. They come out, they double check. Because, listen, everybody's got to know that things happen. Sometimes measurements are off or real life situations change what you initially think is going to work. And as it's working for a week or two, the real life of what's happening in the house could mean that there's adjustments that need to be made. So that, to me, that shows a company that's going the extra mile, because mostly when you have something done, and I guess there are a lot of repairs that don't need anyone to come back out again, but it just means so much more to me as a customer, for that.
So I've had a lot of companies that will tell me, because they do a lot of sales, they'll say, because of staffing or whatever, they'll say to me, well, we call. We have the office call and check on it. And, Michelle, I call you 2 weeks. You think that the system's great. Everything's fine. I call and check up. Hey, how was the installation? How's the water? Oh, man, it was great. Your installer was fantastic. And I mark it in the paperwork. Yeah, everything's good. This customer's really happy. But then you start getting staining or, clearly something's happening. Now in 3 months, you're not happy. You're upset at that point. And I like to avoid those, especially if you're working in an area where, what would be like a nightmare scenario for me? God, I hope this never happens, is if somebody writes me a positive review on Google or an honest positive review, Paul. On Google, and then they come back 3 months later, and how sometimes you see reviews edited? Update. I thought it was good initially. Now this thing sucks. This company sucks. They were all nice and happy at first, but now they're horrible. I mean, that would be, God, that's a nightmare scenario for me. Elaine, I'm glad you're on. Are you guys do a lot of units out there? I mean, you do a lot of sales and you've got a pretty big sales team. What do you guys do? What is your follow-up procedure, your follow-up policy? Do your guys go back out within a couple of weeks and check the water? And how do you kind of get around that?
Well, it's a mandate. And because we do a lot of Costco installs, it is a requirement of Costco.
Oh, right.
So we do tell our guys, it is a very difficult thing, and I've heard all of the, what people have said prior, like, oh, well, I can't get hold of them. Oh, they weren't ready to set. So we actually have a commission agreement because we are in the state of California, and I'm going to have it redone by, the attorneys, And I have to figure out a way. I can't say we're going to reduce your commission because that's like an illegal kind of word. But
yeah,
I can say we're going to enhance your commission if you when the retest is done. You know, so it's difficult. Some people are really good. Usually, what happens is somebody in service department says, "Hey, Mrs. So and So wants her retest. You know, when are you going out there?" And so we're prompted often by the customer themselves because they know that we're supposed to come back out. But what I do is I have a dedicated front office person who calls everybody after every install and checks in and makes sure, you know, there's a set of questions like, were we on time? Were we tidy? Did we clean up? They explain things to you. So we do have a follow-up live person that reaches them after the install.
I think you have a good point there when you're talking about the commission. I said that we withheld part of the commission. That was part, you know, when we had their commission, you know, they're basically, we explained to them their pay structure, what they were going to get paid. You know, we told them what their commission was, but we explained to them that they got paid part of their commission after the system was installed and the remainder of their commission after the follow-up was done. You know, so it wasn't a reduction of commission. It was kind of like that. So sometimes it isn't a wording, right? People don't like to have stuff taken away. You know, well, you're withholding commission. No, I'm not. You got commission for the sale and then you get commission for the follow-up. So that's a way and you have people we've hired salespeople before that have come to us and said, I'm not making enough money. And I go back and look and they've got 20 follow-ups that they could do. I mean, we usually, when we set this up for dealers or, you know, certainly what I did when I was sales manager, I had people come back to me and say, you know, I need to make more money. Okay. Look at your 20 follow-ups that need to be done. Let's calculate what the cost is. What's 2% of, you know, 35,000. There's some money right there just waiting for it's free money. You've already done the hard part. All you have to go out is spend 10 minutes you know, with the customer, just checking the customer and asking for referrals and putting a, you know, maybe putting a yard sign in or, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's the easiest money ever. And I
add to that. So when they do go out and get a good review, we actually pay them $50 for any kind of review. We don't say it has to be a good review. We say if you get the review, you're going to get $50. And if they are willing to do a video, then we're going to get $100. So it's free money for the guys. I mean, if you have 10 sales, you could potentially earn $1,000 extra.
Oh, my God. That's
and Kelly.
Yes. Go ahead, Scott.
And so let's say we really need to do these follow-ups, but you're a new sales rep or you're an existing sales rep or a company that's never done it. What is the best practice? How should that follow-up happen? Like when you get to the house, how should you do that follow-up?
That's a great question. That is a great question. So basically what I do, and different people may have different ideas, but you know, once you get back to the house, I always, again, you know, hey, how's it going? How's the water? I ask them about that. I like to test the water first, okay? Because otherwise you're spending time. You know, if you test the water and it's soft, awesome. If you test the water and it's hard, then you can take a look at the equipment. And so I have a follow-up sheet. We do have that on our, you know, it's basically a checklist of things to go through. Okay.
When you test for softness, you test on the cold water side, or the cold water side and the hard water side.
Cold
water side and the hot water side.
Yeah, that's really super easy to do. Yes, both. It's super easy to do. You know, you can if you test the cold water side first, and now you've got your blue soft water. All you gotta do is turn the hot water on for a second and drop a little bit of hot water in that vial. If it stays blue, hot water soft too. You know, so that if everything's soft, that literally adds 5 seconds to the test. You know, because if you add, you know, if the hot water's soft, But, and that's why a couple of weeks, because it does take a little bit of time. Now, if there's one or two grains of hardness in the hot, which is not uncommon, especially if the systems, you know, if they haven't used a ton of, I mean, it does take a long time to get all of that hardness out. That's where you can talk to them about draining the water heater and those types of things. But if there's, you know, if it started at 20 grains and I've got 2 grains of hardness in the hot, I will probably mention that to them that, you know, it's, did you guys drain your water heater? Has it been, you know, you're almost there. It's almost completely out of there. So you can, you know, that's whatever your company policy is on the water heater, but yes. But
will, even with a new water heater, will the anode rod, because it is sacrificial, will that give a false positive? Even let's say if it was a new water heater, that's something I don't know.
I don't think so. I get soft water on water heaters all the time, so I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Kelly? Kelly, couple thoughts. Yeah, Scott, I don't know. Because some of those rods are magnesium-based. So it could maybe be a contributor, but what I was thinking about is it may be opening a can of worms. If the cold water is completely soft and the hot has a little bit of hardness, it also could be that somebody ran some hot water at night while the softener was recharging.
Yeah, it could be.
So
right.
They drew 20 grains per gallon in. It's diluted. Now it's down to 2.
Yeah.
So typically I did not test the hot when I went out to look at things unless there was some oddity and I'm digging deeper. Then I'm looking at the hot.
Yeah, we don't either. And that's the reason I asked that question is to save the new person coming in and doing that because – don't let me tell you how I know that the hot water will show up. When I first started doing these follow-ups and we didn't really have a procedure of going through, so when we go through, we test the cold water only unless there is a specific issue that the customer is talking about.
So I usually take turn the hot on and just drop a little bit of water in there. But I want to, you know, I guess I understand the, you know, if the cold water is soft, I mean, that's good. You're definitely going to be able to take a look at the system downstairs, too, and know what's happening. You know, if I've got 10 grains of hardness in the hot water, that's, you know, that's potentially a problem, you know, and I could I'd rather find that early, you know. I mean, you know where it can happen? Somebody went out there and installed the thing and didn't fire it up properly, and they blew half the resin out, and it regenerated the night before you got there, so the cold water's soft, but it's running out of capacity in half the time because it's only got half the resin in there, you know, because they didn't have the patience to start it up properly and they blew half the resin down the drain, you know, so.
And then how do you test the RF?
TDS. Like the TDS meter? Right, so you do a before and after. That's it, yeah. So you test the RO, you test the tap water, and, you know, let's say you've got, you should have at least a 90% rejection rate on a new RO. I like to see 95, 98%, you know, usually. But let's say I've got 300 before, you know, coming out of the tap water, and I test the RO, I should have no more than 30, you know, and hopefully I've got 8 or 10, you know, or less.
Mm-hmm.
So
And then with the companies that, like, you know, you have RO, and then there's companies that do the alkaline filter that put the minerals back in,
mm-hmm.
the calcium, mm-hmm. the magnesium, need to be aware of, like, what equipment was installed, because if they did install an alkaline filter, that TDS would
be
higher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So let me tell you how I know.
Yeah. Go. Oh, so don't let you tell you how you know, right? But that is important, right? Because then the salesperson doesn't realize that, and they sit there, oh, this isn't working. We got to get service out here. Everybody needs to be on the same page on what equipment was installed, right? So I will tell you what I did in addition. When I went down and I looked at the installation, when I say down, it's assuming basements. I mean, some people have garages or, you know, when you look at the installation, this is the part. Now, I gained a reputation. Eventually, I think installers knew that this was going to be me, and they did. It made them do a much – I wasn't a jerk about it, but I would look at this thing. You know, I sold a system that was more expensive than anybody else. So when I was in sales, we had a soft, it doesn't matter whether it was more expensive. It doesn't matter if it's least expensive. It's still a lot of money for these people. But for me, I always thought, man, somebody's spent a couple thousand dollars on this unit, in some cases several thousand dollars. This thing better be – I don't want them looking at it going, eh, it's okay. So, and I would ask them that. Are you happy with the installation? And there would be times where the customer would say things like, man, I really wish they had run this drain line back behind here, or I wish the brine tank was on the other side. Now, sometimes it was something that I could, you know, easily do, but if it was something that required a little bit of plumbing, I would get the installer back out there, even if it wasn't something that we did wrong. That was kind of huge. And I, you know, even if it was fine, it was completely acceptable, but the customer was looking at it and it bugged them, and it wasn't that hard, if there wasn't really a reason not to do it the other way, we would come back out and we would fix it. Man, that got me so many referrals. And yes, there was a cost associated with the installer or the service technician having to come back out and do something slightly different. But the amount of money and the reputation and reviews and stuff, we didn't have Google reviews back then, but I have a thick book full of reference letters that people wrote me that mention things like that, you know, that talk about that stuff. Those are the types of things that may cost you $100 to have somebody come out and, you know, to pay an installer to come back out and adjust it or change it. But it's going to make you thousands of dollars if you can look at doing, you know. So it's not just about fixing stuff that's necessarily wrong. It's also about making sure the customer's jumping up and down with joy over it. Now, if you look at our follow-up check sheet, in addition to testing the water and making sure that the system was installed well and, you know, looked nice and the customer was happy about it and all of that stuff, I mean, I will tell you on that note, let me just say this real quick, too. Sometimes I would go out and customers didn't care, right? But I would look at it and the pipes would be all crooked and like not parallel and not hung. I mean, we have, even though we had fantastic installers, sometimes they'd have a bad day. And the thing would just look like crap. I did not want some plumber or some competitor or somebody coming in and seeing this install that we did, taking a picture of it and putting it out there and showing it to other people. I was always very cognizant of that. Like I didn't want to be like somebody using that as an example of why they shouldn't have us put it in, you know? So sometimes I was the one that recognized that it needed to look better. I wasn't happy with it. And we would come back out and fix it there too, you know? So we really had, this did not happen that often because we had just an excellent installation crew. I mean, they were so good, but it was, you know, it did happen. It did happen on occasion. Now, in addition to checking the water and making sure the system looked good, the other thing that I encourage you to do when you're doing that follow-up is to remind those customers to use less soap and detergent. You know, now they've used it for a couple of weeks. They've seen how things are sudsing up. The salesperson talked about that. They hopefully, when they did the sale, talked about using 75% less soap. They talked about how things are going to suds up more. They talked about all of that. Now the customer's been using it. They've seen the shampoo. You can ask them, have you noticed the soap sudsing up? Remember, you've got to cut down on your soap usage. Stop using the tablets in your dishwasher. You know, look at the dishwasher owner's manual. It's going to tell you, you know, you only need one teaspoon of dish detergent in there. And, you know, so use the liquid stuff. And cut down on your laundry soap. You know, this is a time to remind them that the way they're going to pay for that new softener is by, you know, by cutting down their soap usage. It's going to pay for itself within a year or so and the amount of soap they're going to save and the cleaners and the time and stuff like that. So that is a great opportunity to just remind them. And remember, they were excited when they first put this unit in, and it's a couple weeks later. Share in that excitement, re-excite them. You know, now they've had it for a couple weeks. The excitement is started to drop a little bit. You know, they're used to it. It's even a couple weeks. You know, they're used to it. They reinvigorate them, remind them about this awesome system that they just put in. And more importantly, most importantly, let them know how happy you are that they trusted you and your company to do it for them. You know, just reiterate the fact that you're, you know, I always say, I always tell people, you know, service is important when there's something wrong, but it's more important when everything is right. You know, the follow-up, the service, the, I always tell people, let me be your phone friend. You know, you have a question. I point it straight out. You know, a lot of times when you buy something like this, you never hear from the salesperson again. I don't want that to be the case. You've got my cell number. Call me. Let me be your phone a friend. You see something on the news about water, unrelated to this equipment. Let me be your phone a friend. You know, call me if you have a water question. I want them to see me as a water professional, not as a sales guy who sold them their water softener. You know, I want them, when they think water, I want them thinking me, right? Final thoughts or comments on this before we run totally, oh, we are out of time, but any final thoughts or comments on this?
I would just say, to tie it all back together, what originally spurred this topic of the company that extorted the customer to get a review. If you do what you said to do, go out there, test the water, make sure that it's doing what it's supposed to, that it's installed correctly, and as you go back over the features and benefits, then you have earned the right to ask for a review.
Yeah, I agree. They're not obligated to give you a review just because they bought something from you or a referral. Yeah, I agree 100%. Anybody else? Thank you, everybody, for hopping on. And I don't mean to single anybody else out, but Elaine and Doug, you guys get up early for this, and it really is a huge. I mean, everybody else too, Paul. So I don't want to single anybody out on appreciation, but I know that you guys get up early and you guys put it on the calendar. All of you do, and every week, and I so appreciate that you find value in it. Thank you very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Have a good day.